Book 3 of Water and Warriors. Chapter 46. Deep beneath Kater, the water level had risen gradually. Now it was above the rock sections removed by the moles. Hour by hour it had risen fractionally. To the casual ear, the trickling had stopped, but it was still adding silently to the volume as it seeped in from below the surface of the gradually rising lake. Standing at a high window, Simina breathed deeply, filling her lungs with the soothing summer breeze that blew in from Mossflower Woods. At last, the accursed dripping had stopped. She felt light-headedly happy. Dark, fearful night had given way to this beautiful, calm, sunlit morning, taking with it the haunting sounds of the water. Brog was right, she thought, even though he was only an oafish weasel. There was a certain sense to his logic. Imagination was a strange thing which played odd tricks upon an overwrought mind. Now, a new resolution was forming in Sarmina's devious brain, one she considered worthy of her talents. Mossflower must be conquered. The eagle was gone, Bane too, and her forces were stronger now with the addition of his one-time mercenaries. Sarmina allowed herself an audible snigger. That Bane! He had even taken the trouble to restore and repair all the Kater woodwork in anticipation of taking over from her, the Queen of Mossflower. Stupid fox! Furnishing herself with a bowl of milk and a roasted wood pigeon, she mentally thanked Bane for his supplies, adding another point to her favour. She sat down to breakfast in some earnest thought as to the final solution of the woodlanders. Sarmina rang the bell to summon Brog.
Your Majesty?
Ah, Brog. Put aside that sword and sit over here at my table.
Thank you, milady.
This morning I was thinking of appointing some new captains. However, I have since changed my mind, Brog. You will remain as the one and only officer giving out my orders, of course.
Brog sat to attention, his chest puffed out proudly.
Oh, thank you, milady, thank you. I'll make you proud of me. You won't regret this. Wait and see, I'll just...
Sarmina silenced the babbling captain with a wave of the wood pigeon carcass.
Enough chattering, Brog. Let me tell you what you must do to earn this great honour.
I'm yours to command, my queen.
Good. I want traps. Lots of traps, snares, nets, pits, anything we can think up.
Traps, milady?
Yes, traps, you great buffoon. I want traps laid all over that forest out there.
Brog grinned as recognition dawned.
We'll capture some woodland prisoners.
Capture, kill, maim, I don't care. As long as it makes those creatures afraid to set paw outside their hiding place, wherever they may be, I'll turn the tables on them and they'll never pen us in again. Give them a good long summer of my scheme, and they'll be only too willing to accept my terms. Those who are left after the traps begin their work.
Right, milady. I'll start today. How about some covered pits with sharpened stakes at the bottom?
Excellent, Brog. At last you're talking my language. Also, we could arrange some thin, strangling nooses concealed in the deep loam.
Great idea, milady. How about some big nets and trip ropes?
Splendid! Make sure you have lots of poisoned hooks tied in the net meshes. Oh, and don't forget the old bent sapling trick with a hidden noose. You can always bank on some lumbering badger or hopping squirrel to step into it, eh, Brog?
Yes, milady. Imagine all those woodlanders dangling upside down by the back paws.
Just like apples waiting to be picked.
Oh, we might just leave them to ripen until autumn before we pick them, milady.
Very good, Brog. I never imagined you had such a sense of humour.
Oh, I have my moments, milady.
Well, make sure your moments are all victorious ones from now on. My one and only captain.
Brog saluted awkwardly, knocking the chair over as he rose.
Yes, Majesty, I'll get right down to it this very morning.
Sarmina caught the end of his cloak, pulling him back.
There you go, rushing and dashing about like a sparrow after a fly. Priorities, Brog. If you must do a job, do it properly. Take your time. Gather the right equipment together, organize the troops into squads, give each one a team leader, and offer rewards for the most ingenious traps and the best results. Do you see the idea?
Brog's face brightened at the power he was about to wield.
You're right, milady. I'll spend all today organizing, then we can make a start first thing tomorrow.
He departed, leaving Sarmina back at her high window, still clutching the wood pigeon. She destroyed the carcass by crushing it with a single blow and hurled it out of the window toward the forest.
Here! Have something to eat, woodlanders!
She shrieked.
You'll need it by the time autumn comes. I'll keep you penned up in your holes. We'll see who runs out of supplies first.
Abbess Germaine and Columbine were taking the little ones to stay with Gingerbeard and Sandingon. Bella drew a map to direct them. Ferdy and Cogs were torn between visiting their Uncle Gingerbeard and staying behind to become warrior sea dogs. Gonf had a word with them.
Listen, mateys, Martin and I can't be spared to guard the little ones. That's why we thought of sending you two. Imagine how much safer the Abbess and Columbine will feel knowing that Ferdy and Cogs are along to protect the convoy. I've made you a sling each and a pouch of throwing pebbles apiece.
Honest to goodness real ones, Mr. Gonf?
Aye, the same as Martin and I carry.
Ferdy had only one thing to say.
Right, Cogs, let's line these creatures up. I'll tell the Abbess and Columbine to lead. We'll protect the rear.
They departed amidst much cheering and paw waving, both warriors getting their snouts wiped soundly on the corner of Goody's apron. The Corrim leaders set about the distribution of arms. Logalog and his shrews were proficient archers. They used the squirrel shoulder bows as standing longbows, and Lady Amber saw to it they were well supplied. The six hares fell gladly into Skipper's company. They were well liked by the otters, and proved to be as efficient with javelins as they were with their own big pikes, which were greatly admired by the otter crew. The loam hedge mice were unused to any sort of weapon, so they joined Goody Stickle to help in any way possible, healing, repairing, and running the field kitchen. Tim Ballisto and young Dinny took the moles. They banded together with the former ore slaves. Between them, there was an amazing variety of weapons. Bella strolled over to review them.
Well, well, who's in charge of this bloodthirsty crew?
She asked, receiving two salutes.
Captains Tim Ballisto and young Dinny of the Mossflower Irregulars, reporting for duty, ma'am.
Young Dinny brandished a dagger. He was decked out in a many-coloured fringed silk sash and brass seerat earrings.
Ha ha! We'm a right dreadful rabble and ready for fighting out!
Bella returned the salute as she tried to hide a smile. In the forward cabin of Woodship, Martin spoke secretly with five strong, experienced otters. When he emerged, the banks were thronged with a horde waiting upon his word. Every eye was upon him as he sprang from the side of the vessel and waded ashore through the shallows. Tim Ballisto had found his old battle armour in the sea-rat lockers. He came forward and buckled it on his friend in silence. Setting the round war helmet firmly on Martin's head, he strapped the breastplate on and buckled the greaves about the warrior's paws. Bella and the hares presented Martin with a scabbard and sword belt which matched his sword to perfection. Martin turned to his army.
Let us go and settle the score with Cotea.
Brog cursed in the half-light before dawn as he tripped upon a coil of rope lying in the main hallway. The place was a jumble of snaring equipment. The weasel captain rubbed a bruised paw and wished he had not been so enthusiastic on the previous day. Picking up the rope, he hailed at a chinwort as the rat was settling down for a quick nap in the corner.
Come on, dozy chops, on your paws. I thought you were supposed to be helping me sort this mess out.
What about the others?
The rat yawned.
Weren't they all awake and helping?
Brog paused, letting go of the net he was dragging to the doorway.
Good idea. Why should I have to do it all myself? Chinwort, go and kick them out of their billets. Say that anyone who isn't ready to parade smartly will be reported to the Queen.
The threat worked. A few moments later, the hall was filled with sleepy soldiers. But seeing Sarmina was not about, they offered no help. They lounged about sitting on the stairs. Brog remembered Sarmina's advice.
Attention!
He called.
First one out on the parade ground carrying a trap gets double supper this evening. Anybody who lies about will be sentenced to half bread and water.
Chinwort grabbed 3 steaks and scuttled outside. The rest began half-heartedly picking up nets. Chinwort came hurtling back inside.
Captain, they're out there,
he said wildly.
What are you yammering on about now, rat? Who's out there?
Woodlanders! Go and see for yourself!
Recalling the last woodlander raid, Brog acted with caution. He poked his head around the doorway nervously, ready to pull back swiftly in case of arrows. The main gates had been flung agape. Standing in the open with the dawn mist evaporating in the sun around them were a number of creatures. A badger, a mouse in armour, and that brawny otter. Brog did not linger to see if there were others.
Chinwort, go and rouse the Queen, quickly,
he ordered. Sarmina came bounding down wide awake. She peered round the doorway with Brog.
So, at last they're showing themselves. Maybe we might not need the snares, Brog. Perhaps they've walked straight into a trap.
But, milady, they're carrying a white flag. Doesn't that make them peaceable?
Brog protested.
Don't believe all you see, Brog. You're carrying a sword, but that doesn't make you a soldier. Let's hear what they have to say.
As she stepped boldly out into the open, Sarmina whispered out the side of her mouth at Brog.
Get the archers. Wait for my signal.
None of the deputation was armed, except the mouse, who carried a sword at his side. Sarmina recognised him immediately. Also, the cheeky mouse thief standing behind him. She curled her lip in scorn.
Escaped prisoners and woodland rebels, what do you want?
We are the leaders of the Corum. Come to deliver an ultimatum.
The warrior mouse's voice was hard and clear. Sarmina's mind was racing. All the leaders here in one place. They must not be allowed to escape alive. Had Brog organised those archers?
Well, here I am. Speak your piece.
The Wildcat Queen kept her voice deceptively calm. The warrior pointed a male paw at her.
Listen carefully to what I say, cat. You and your creatures have no right to tyrannise or try to enslave woodlanders. We are honest and free. Mossflower is our home.
You insolent upstart!
Sarmina laughed harshly.
I should have killed you when I had the chance. Do you realise who you are threatening? I am Sarmina, Queen of the Thousand Eyes, ruler of Mossflower.
Her adversary did not seem impressed.
I am Martin the Warrior, and I have not come here to make idle threats. This is what I have to say. Leave this place by sunset today. Take your army with you. Go where you will, but stay clear of Mossflower, and do not try to harm any woodlander.
Sarmina glanced over her shoulder. She could see the archer standing ready inside the doorway.
If I do as you say, what then?
You will be allowed to leave in peace, and none of your creatures will be harmed. You have my word as a warrior.
Sarmina shrugged. She held her paws open wide.
What happens if I choose not to leave?
She asked. Martin's tone was like Boar's hammer striking the anvil.
You will die here! You and all your vermin! I will bring this evil place down on your heads! Again, you have my word as a warrior!
Sarmina remained silent for a moment, as if considering both offers. When she spoke again, her voice was flat and dangerous.
Big words for a little mouse. I will make no promises save one. You will all be slain where you stand.
At his signal, a score of archers leaped forth, ready to fire. She folded her paws, smiling sarcastically.
What do you say to that, little warrior?
Martin stood like a rock, showing no trace of fear.
Then we will stand here and be killed by your arrows. But look behind me at the trees and on your outer wall. Every woodlander who can draw bowstring or throw javelin is aiming straight for your treacherous heart. You would not get a paw's length before you were sent to the gate of Dark Forest. So carry on, cat. Tell your archers to fire. We will die so that Mossflower can be rid of you.
Sarmina's eyes shifted, dodging back and forth. Otters, mice, squirrels, hedgehogs, even hares. There seemed to be as many of them as leaves in an autumn gale, each with a weapon trained on her, every face grim with determination.
Die! longbows!
She called to her archers in an urgent hiss. The soldiers pointed their bows to the ground, allowing the strings to slacken off. The Coram leaders began walking backwards out of the gateway. Samin had extended a quivering claw.
This isn't where it finishes!
She threatened, her voice shrill with rage.
Oh no! This is only the start!
Martin's response rang back at her.
Until sunset tonight! We will wait outside for your answer!
Brog popped his head out.
Don't forget to close the gates after you!
As the gates closed, Bella's voice was loud and clear.
These gates are being shut, not to stop us getting in, but to keep you from getting out.
Samina dashed inside.
Get those nets and ropes out of my way! I want everybody up to the top of Katir, the very top! Hurry!
She urged. Gonf stood in the shadow of a sycamore with Martin.
Well, matey, it's done now. We're all in it, win or lose. No second chances. You heard the cat. This is only the start.
She's planning something, Martin.
Lady Amber said from up in the branches.
It's gone too quiet in there for my liking.
Martin looked up.
Mine too. Tell the leaders to draw their companies back under cover. Let us wait and see what move she'll make.
Whispered orders went out, and the woodlanders moved back, blending into the green shade and mottled shadow. The outside wall was deserted. Not a whisker, paw or weapon showed anywhere. Eerie silence fell upon the soft morning warmth, broken only by a faint rustle of breeze through the treetops. Filing silently up a wooden loft staircase, Samina led her forces out onto the flat square battlemented roof of Katir. Signalling them to lie low, she peered over the top of the wall.
Quietly now. Archers, come forward. Keep your heads down and station yourselves around these battlements. Be ready to fire at my command.
The archers deployed stealthily. They lay waiting. Samina nodded to them.
Fire!
A deadly hail of arrows flew earthward. She watched as they vanished into the treetop foliage. There were no screams or cries from below. Silence reigned.
Fire again!
A second volley of shafts plunged down into the green fastness. Still nothing. Further back in the woodland, Skipper munched an oat cake.
I wonder if the cat's allowing her troops an early snack.
Tim Ballisto polished an apple on his fur.
Shouldn't think so. Look at those arrows peppering the trees where we stood a moment ago.
The woodlanders sat eating, watching scores of arrows striking the branches and soft earth, just out of range of where they sat. A lone hedge mouse was sharing a bowl of milk with Gonf.
Shouldn't we be firing a few arrows back, sir?
He asked boldly.
No, matey. Waste of time. Too high. Besides, we'd give our position away to them. Let them waste more shafts a while yet.
Unless we could get high up in those trees on the north side.
Barklad said as he nibbled a stick of celery.
Could you hit them from there?
What? Good squirrel archers? Of course we could, Martin.
The warrior mouse pondered.
Possible, I suppose. But we'd need something to decoy them into concentrating their fire over this way. Any ideas, Amber?
Samina waved her paw for the archers to cease fire. Some of them did not see her and kept shooting.
Stop! That's enough, fools!
She shrieked.
Can't you see they're not there?
The arrows stopped. A fox called Bentbrush turned to his companion, a rat named Wegg.
Bane would have thought of something to weed him out,
he said nostalgically.
Like what, for instance?
Well, like, I don't know, but he'd have thought of something.
If he was so smart, why is he so dead now? Look, the bushes are moving down there.
Samina was alongside the rat in a flash.
Where? Show me!
She demanded eagerly.
Down there, right by where we were shooting.
The fringe bushes at the wood's edge were indeed shaking and rustling. Samina smiled with satisfaction.
So, we weren't just wasting arrows. Some of them are hit. Over here, you lot. Give those bushes a good raking with arrows. I don't want anything left alive down there. Ready? Fire!
The shafts went through the bushes like a shower of rain. Lady Amber climbed high in an elm until she glimpsed the back of the soldiers over the battlements. Notching an arrow to her bowstring, she murmured to the 12 stout squirrels who were following her example.
3 shots, quick as you like, then away from here.
The shafts flew straight and through, striking the huddled group who were firing upon the bushes. Samina was saved by the body of Bentbrush, who fell across her, 2 arrows protruding from his back. There was nowhere to run on the open roof. A score of soldiers were struck by arrows. Before they could recover and retaliate, the squirrels had gone. Logalog and Formole sat some distance from the bushes. Well hidden, they tugged vigorously at lengths of rope that were attached to bush and branch.
Yeah, how long do us and keep a tuggin' ropes?
Take a rest now, Formole. They've stopped firing.
Lady Amber and the squirrel swung in from the high branches.
Good decoy, Martin,
she congratulated him.
We gave them something they won't forget in a hurry. Nearly got the cat, but a fox fell across her.
Yes, a clever strategy, but you must keep on trying to think one jump ahead of Sarmina. She'll come back at you with something else if I know anything of warfare. The cat is as cunning as any sea rat, you'll see,
Logalog warned. Martin pointed to Chib descending from the blue.
Here comes my spy now.
I overheard the cat giving orders.
What was she saying?
Well, most of it wasn't fit for the ears of any decent creature, but she's left a token force on the roof and is taking the rest downstairs.
Martin unsheathed his sword.
That may mean she intends coming out to make an attack on us.
Bella nodded.
Well, she can't get through the gateway. I've locked and wedged that gate myself.
Then they'll probably be coming over the walls,
Skipper interrupted.
This is what I've been waiting for, hearties. A good chance to use my pike hairs.
Oh, we'll be there, old bean, piking away.
Rather. Done this sort of thing before, don't you know?
Jab, thrust and whatnot. All part of the game.
Young Dinny waved a dagger at his crew.
Who are? We be right aside. Wouldn't miss it for nothing.
Martin called order.
I want no pitched battle or wholesale killing,
he told them firmly.
You must do just enough to defend our position and send them back in retreat over that wall. Lady Amber, keep squirrels high in the trees. Have them take brushwood shields for protection. They must keep those archers on the roof pinned down.
A weasel called Foul Whisker peered around the doorway to the parade
ground. All clear, m'lady. They think we're still on the roof,
he reported.
Good. Get across the open ground quickly and don't drop those ladders.
The attack force was a large one. Brog led them across the parade ground to the wall.
Right, you lot. Set the ladders up and get climbing,
he ordered. They scaled the walls until the top of the stonework was thick with soldiers. Nervously, they watched the trees until Brog came up last, panting hard.
See anything?
No, Captain. All clear.
Then all these ladders up and let them down the other side.
As the last troops set port on the woodland side, Martin appeared from the trees. He was backed by six hares carrying pikes. Brog grinned. Not a very large reception.
Troops, charge!
Otters poured out of the undergrowth from behind Martin and the hares. From the left and right flanks, a horde of Mossflower Irregulars sprang from hiding, closing like pincer jaws. Pike clashed upon spear as the two sides met, and battle cries arose.
Death to the Woodlanders! Martin for Mossflower!
A fox struck down an oar slave. He was about to finish him off when Skipper thwacked him hard with a rock-laden sling, knocking the spear from his paws. The six hares were causing devastation, with their pikes easily outreaching Cotier's spears. Soldiers facing fierce otters ran to the left or right, only to see the way barred by mobs of shrews, mice, moles and oar slaves. Brog was no coward when his blood was roused. He fought madly to reach the warrior mouse who carried the whirling sword. Martin took a stoat low down, whipping the blade up and round his head height, as Bor had shown him. Turning, he felled the weasel. Then Brog was upon him, bullying forward. Unable to use his spear, the captain threw himself at the warrior mouse. Martin saw him coming. Falling backwards and throwing his paws up, he caught Brog off balance, tossing him neatly. Skillfully, Brog landed on all fours. Grabbing his curved sword, he came thundering back with the point held low. Martin rolled to one side, leapt straight up, and chopped down with a double-pawed swing. The weasel captain found himself holding a sword handle from which the blade had been completely shorn. He backed up to a tree with Martin's sword at his throat.
Back over that wall! Now!
The warrior mouse's voice snapped like a whip. To Brog's surprise, the blade lowered. He found himself dashing for the wall, shouting aloud.
Retreat! Retreat! Back to Katia!
Skipper hefted a javelin, taking aim at Brog, but Martin's sword pushed the weapon aside.
Enough, Skip. Let them go.
The vanquished troops fought tooth and claw among themselves to be first over the wall lest the warrior mouse change his mind. Loamhedge mice moved in to help the wounded. Martin, Skipper and Gonf stood breathing heavily.
You should have let us finish it, Martin.
No, Skipper,
Martin said firmly.
The only time I would have allowed that was if the cat had been here.
Gonf sheathed his two fighting daggers.
Blow me, matey. We had them whipped there.
Why did you let him go?
Martin wiped his sword on the grass, staring at the slain of both sides strewing the woodland floor.
To show them we are not evil,
he said at last.
We only want what is ours, and now I think they know we're strong enough to get it. Could you not see? The fight is going out of those soldiers. They're beginning to look as if they need food. Their larders must be just about empty, and only the fear of their cruel queen keeps them going. Besides, when I put my plan in motion, with the help of some otters and my friend Tim Ballisto, Katia would be truly broken and defeated until it is only a bad name to frighten little ones off to bed with in the seasons to come.
Bella shook her head sadly as she picked up the limp form of a squirrel who had been a former ore slave.
You did right, Martin,
she told him.
There is no greater evil than killing. I don't care whether they call it war or justice. Life is precious.
A loam hedge mouse wiped away a tear as she turned to Tim Ballisto.
I think Bella's right,
she added.
Aye, and so do I, young missy. But what can Martin do? He has to lead us to a lasting peace against a cruel and cold-blooded cat,
Tim Ballisto said gently. There was no more fighting that day. Both sides halted to lick their wounds. Martin waited for sunset, while Samina berated her soldiers as she tried to think up fresh schemes for victory.